This is a replay of the Tuesday night, March 18th WGN show. We started at 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us like they did last night, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Talking about the Postal Service. Oh, man. I know it comes up so often, but we'll give you the latest and greatest on that. And, of course, I can't help but mention that isn't it wonderful that after almost 10 months, the two astronauts are back on terra firma. So we'll talk about that as well. But last night, Jim called and said, I got a lot of news. I got stuff to talk about. So we start with Jim in Richmond. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I was over the moon last night, and we went out for our usual St. Patrick's Day dinner after we went shopping. And we go to the Real McCoy's. This time it's in Cold Springs. And it used to be right at the entrance of my subdivision until it was burned down in an arson fire. And the people that own it, we've become very good friends over the last 20 years. And it was so nice that we were there. And now she's 90% done with her help with her brother that passed away. And she's no longer doing any massages. So we had an excellent evening. We got there at 2. We left at 4:30 because we talked for an hour and a half after we ate, and we haven't done that in years and years, and it was over the moon. It was great.
That's wonderful.
And I just wanted to say the corned beef was so good I couldn't eat for the next day.
Oh, man, isn't that nice?
And here's what we do. We've done this since we went to the one that was on the entrance to my subdivision back, I think it was like 2007. That's how long we've been going to them. Mm-hmm. We know them very well, but her husband passed away. We drink the green beer, but we put in a shot of peppermint schnapps.
Okay.
Because if you're gonna drink something green, it should taste like mint. So we were, you know, we discussed a lot of things. We reminisced about a lot of things. And when I came home, like I said, I was over the moon, and so was she. And she's been very stressed lately, and I've been very stressed lately and everything.
Yeah.
And then this morning, I was sitting on my chair. I had my breakfast sandwich and my tea and my banana, and I dropped my banana piece of it on the floor. So I bent down. And I was looking all over for the piece on the floor. I couldn't find it. Yeah. But my elbow hit the key, which spilled on the TV controller.
Oh, no.
And shorted it out.
Oh, no.
So I have one best friend in my life, and that's the TV.
Yes.
So I didn't have TV all day. So that really, I was so angry. And then my ex-sister-in-law called and talked about that and stuff. And then later on, I got a phone call from the doctor that gives me the shot, you know, and they called this morning to say, oh, we have to make you aware that Good Days, that pays your 20% and for your shot, they got their funding cut.
Oh, no.
So it's going to, we just want you to be aware that after you, if you get a shot of Eylea HD tomorrow, it's going to cost you $320.
Oh, my God.
And we want you to know that because a lot of people have been calling and saying, I can't afford it. So we just want you to let you know. And I remember that the Kenalog costs even more than the Eylea. So I'm scheduled for Kenalog, so I don't know what I'm going to do. So I just freaked out today. It was like one wonderful day and then one crappy day. And today I talked to my friend. And like I said, she moved in next door to me like in 2005. So we've been friends since then. She finalized all the problems, all the stuff with her son, her brother. Good. And she was, you know, has a weight off her shoulder. But now, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Tomorrow, I have the appointment. And then on Thursday, I'm going to call Good Days and see what's going on. But they said their funding was cut, so...
Yeah, and also see if there's other sources. Well, I think the first thing tomorrow is before you let them give you the shot, demand that they tell you what the copay is. And if they won't tell you that, I'm not sure you should do it.
Oh, they will as soon as I get the shot and I go to the desk and they say, okay, it's going to cost you X amount, you know.
Well, you want to know that before you get the shot.
Right. So I'm going to ask them, is there any alternative charitable organizations that will help me out? But Days Inn, I've been dealing with them for 2 years, and I've never had to pay any copay, 20% copay on any of my shots.
Right.
So it went from one good day to one, bad day.
That 20%, normally Medicare only reimburses 80%, and then your secondary insurance would reimburse the other 20. So is this a situation where your secondary insurance just won't cover it at all?
I have Humana, and they said that they took over for Medicare. So they, in other words, they're
okay.
The
so you're on some type of Advantage plan,
right? I have Advantage plan.
Well, with that in mind, sadly, all bets are off. They can pretty much do whatever they want.
Right.
I mean, they advertise that it doesn't cost you anything in terms of a premium. That's right. But what it costs you sometimes is coverage that you may need.
Right.
And I'm so sorry.
Before I had Humana, I had Cobra or whatever. And when I left when I retired, I was 60. Mm-hmm. So I had that. So I got the plan that would pay, the 20%.
Sure.
And I was paying a fortune for that.
Like, oh, I know. The Cobra pay. They talk about Cobra, you can keep your insurance. That's right. But the premiums are just outrageous. For the standard Medigap policies that are not Advantage, the prices are not too terrible. But the problem that you will have is since you didn't elect one of those when you turned 65, you have to be underwritten. And they may not underwrite you because of your eye problems.
Right. And now I'm 71.
Yeah. The age isn't the problem. The problem is getting it underwritten with pre-existing. I'm so sorry you're facing this.
Right. And then the funny thing is when I started with Jay's Potato Chips in 79.
Yeah.
My son was born in 80.
Uh-huh.
April of 80. And I... 79, and they said we're not going to pay for it because it's
pre-existing. Hilarious. Oh, well, I'm sure you fought that and won.
No, I didn't.
Really? And, oh, my God.
And then, you know, that's, you know, it's just like I've been fighting insurance companies all my life, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, I was thinking just today, you know, you go back to when we were first working and most people didn't have insurance, didn't need insurance. Now, my God, it'll bankrupt you if you don't have it.
Right. And I just was, I'm just saying that I went from being totally happy over the moon.
Right. Right.
Now I'm starting from zero again.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. It absolutely is. Well, I'm glad you had the respite of a good day. That's wonderful. But I'll be curious to know what they say tomorrow at the doctor. And
I'm going
to
ask them. Yeah. I'm going to ask them who can pay the 20%.
Well, and you know, I mean, I realize that with Advantage, you know, HMOs can write their own rules, but it just seems to me that there should be some type of appeal process.
Right. I don't have an HMO, but I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, you do. Yeah, by the way, yeah, you do. Advantage.
Oh, wow.
Advantage is an HMO. Don't kid yourself.
Well, my brother has Blue Cross Blue Shield, and it's an HMO, and he has a pacemaker that's a defibrillator.
Right.
And then he went to his doctor's appointment, and he walked in the door, and they said, "We're not covering you anymore."
Yeah.
And you have to go and find a you know, new insurance. And then he called up the insurance company. He says, "We can give you enough to cover it, but it'll be $400 more a month."
Yeah.
And then now he's searching all around. And I guess this week he's going to find he has to find a new doctor, a new hospital, and all that. And
sure.
It's just like, insurance is terrible.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And when I say Advantage is an HMO, it doesn't necessarily have to be. It can be a PPO, but if you read the fine print, they all work like an HMO.
Right.
Yeah, and, very unfortunate.
And I'm glad you took my call
always.
Early because, but I mean, but when I lose my best friend, my television.
Now, what are you going to do about the television? Can you call somebody?
Tomorrow,
okay.
My brother's going to take me to get my appointment in Libertyville.
Yeah.
And then we're driving to Whitewater where I bought the television, and I'm bringing the manual and the
remote.
Controller.
Yeah, the remote.
And I'm going to say, "Can you do anything?"
Right.
And if they can't do anything, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, here's the deal. If it's just the remote, you can always get a replacement. In fact, you can get replacements that aren't even necessarily by the same company that will work. So you're not going to be out a lot, and that's the good news. But you're out is the aggravation of getting there. Well, good luck.
Right.
Keep me posted tomorrow.
Right, and this remote is so small. All it has is up and down, you know,
all right,
back
and
forth.
Well, now here's another thing.
And then on the bottom of the remote has all the like Netflix and all that kind of stuff that I don't want to sign up for, and it's funny.
There are universal remotes for individuals with low vision. You don't have to use the remote that comes with the television.
That's what I'm going to ask them at Walmart tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully they have them at Walmart, but otherwise you can look online, things like MaxiAge. There's a number of different different companies, but you can get remotes that are simple and large.
Right, and I may not see the people very well on TV, but it's been total silence all day today.
Oh, I understand. Well, thank God you got the radio.
Right. And then the stupid Blackhawks game.
Oh, wow.
I want to say something to WGN.
Uh-oh.
Why do you have to talk about the Blackhawks game for a whole hour after the game?
You know that answer.
You talk about the game for a half hour before it starts.
Yes.
And then all the other ones, when you listen to the Northwestern games or anything that's on the radio, they talk for half hour afterwards. Why do they have to talk about the Blackhawks game for an hour?
That's the way they finance it, the pre and post game. That's exact. And you find that on all sorts of play-by-play. You're getting it for free. The cost of getting the game on the radio is you're going to have a lot of pre and post, and that's the way they pay for it.
Right. I'm saying that to WGN,
well,
not
yeah,
to you.
But, no, I know, but if they don't do pre and post, they're not going to be able to bring you the games.
Right.
It's that simple. So, you know, it's
right.
Economics, pure and simple. Well, believe me, I know. When I was in San Diego, I got there, and my show followed the Padres when they were dead last in the NL West. And the post game was an hour. So here's a game that they couldn't win to save their soul. And then you have an hour post game. By the time I got on, thank God I'd been in Rockford where I learned to talk to myself. Because I did that after every damn post game for at least an hour. Yeah.
Right.
It's the way it is.
I love your show. And I don't like it being interrupted.
Well, all right. Well, I think we're about to get to the season after next week where there won't be many interruptions. There's going to be some Northwestern, there's some basketball, NCAA stuff. But for the most part, there's not
right.
going to be interruptions. All right. Good deal.
Right.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thanks.
Thank you for my call.
Absolutely.
And have a wonderful evening. And I hope you had a wonderful St. Patrick's Day.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, so we will find out what's up with that. But Bruce in Elwood says he has advice for Jim, and you will hear it right after this on WGN Radio.
What am I living for, if not for you? What am I living for, if not for you?
WGN Radio. And that was a request. We're going to play the flip side as well, and then I'll tell you the story. Yeah, it was not the story that the caller had had mentioned. But you'll hear all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
My mama told me she didn't like that rock and roll. I said, please, mama, please. Mama, you just don't know I don't want to. You know I get that feeling every time I hear those blues. That music gotta be that will keep you alive. The kids are rock and rolling from 8 to 25. I don't want to hang up my rock and roll shoes, because I get that feeling every time I hear those blues. That rock and roll will soon fade away. No matter what they say, rock and roll is here to stay. I don't want to hang up my rock and roll shoes, because my feet start moving every time I hear those blues.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was supposed to be the A side, and then he up and died. So we'll talk about this a moment to get all the facts out. And yeah, last night, I forget his name, and I'm so sorry. And I wrote down the request and forgot who I was talking to. So my apologies. But I did promise I'd play some of What Am I Living For, which I did. And of course, played a lot of Hang Up My Rock and Roll Shoes, which Chuck Willis wrote. And as I say, originally that was slated to be the A side. And Chuck was doing very well in his career. He was on Atlantic at that time. And he'd been around since the late 40s, early 50s. I mean, he was not a newcomer. He was on OK originally and did a lot of stuff. And I'll get to his TV show in Atlanta, which was in some ways hilarious. I'll leave it to you to decide. But in 56, he got signed by Atlantic. And that's, you know, that's when stuff really started to happen. He was the one who wanted them to record CC Rider, which actually was a public domain thing from way back when. And I think they protested for a moment, and then they did. And, of course, it turned out to be his biggest hit. But he had recorded Hang Up My Rock and Roll Shoes, which he wrote in, I think it was like late 57. And the B side was What Am I Living For, which he did not write, as far as that goes. But just when the record was released in early spring of 1958, he up and died. And he had had stomach ulcers for years, and he drank quite a bit. And so he was having surgery in Chicago, and April of 58 died at the age of 32. And so what happened when he died was that disc jockeys back then, before the Payola hearings and all that, who got to choose what they wanted to play, they flipped it and started playing What Am I Living For? Because, of course, you know, he no longer was. Well, but that is not why the record is remarkable. Why that record is historically remarkable is simple. That is the first rock and roll record that was recorded in stereo. And it was Tom Dowd who did that. So, both sides. First rock and roll record recorded and released in stereo, engineered by Tom Dowd. Now, going back to long before it was on Atlantic, Chuck Willis had a little TV show in Atlanta, and this was, you know, a local Atlanta station at Saturday nights like that, and he was terrific at that. In fact, Zena Sears, who was a big disc jockey on WAOK, used to talk about him extensively, saying he was a better songwriter than a performer, but on that show, he'd do five or six songs, but he moved well, he handled himself well, he put everybody at ease, and everybody liked him. In fact, other people who worked with him say that he was one of the few artists who treated a band properly. That was a problem. I'll get to that. But but in the meantime, here is Chuck Willis. If you ever see pictures of him, you will see him in a turban. It was Screamin' Jay Hawkins early on who convinced him that he should use the gimmick. And so on stage and stuff, Chuck Willis became the Sheik of Shake. And that was the gimmick. But what happened when he died, because he had treated his band very well, and all the bands he worked with and stuff like that, and he wound up owing, well, in his death, his estate wound up owing the IRS a literal fortune. So his wife, you know, she had her furs and she had her stuff, you know, possessions and all that. But she had a tax bill to beat the band. And so, sadly, that was the case there. But short life, but good stuff, and wrote a ton of stuff, including for Ruth Brown and many others. So that's the story, the real story of Hang Up My Rock and Roll Shoes, more that it was in stereo than that they flipped it because he died. All right, 888-876-5593. And Bruce in Elwood has advice for Jim. So, Bruce, welcome back to WGN Radio. What you know?
Hi, Riley. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I came up with just three quick things. One of them's for Jim, but two, when I retired and I turned 65, I lucked out and my neighbor told me get a Blue Cross and Blue Shield G.
Yes, Plan G. Of the Medigap policies, Plan G is the way to go.
And I still have it.
Yes.
I'm grandfathered in it. They're trying to get me out of it.
No, don't do it. You know, the interesting thing is traditionally people would pick Plan F because it paid for everything. But the reality was the only difference between G and F was Plan F paid for the deductible. But if you added up the premiums for Plan F, you paid more in premiums than the deductible was. So Plan G is the only way to go. Yes. And of course, you got many companies to choose from, but they're all regulated within an inch of their life. There's not going to be any difference in what they provide. That's for sure, because Medicare determines that. But as long as you've got a really decent rate with them, no reason to even consider switching.
It's one up. Maybe I have the plan. I have the one without the deductible. I guess
yeah, that's
I have
G.
The F.
That's G. That's right.
G, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
See, it's one up to $300, but I've had about $400,000 or $500,000 surgeries.
Right, and they pay for it all.
I didn't even get a bill from the
exactly.
Hospital.
No, it's a wonderful thing. Yeah, I'm a big believer in Plan G. The only people who I advise don't do it are people who literally would mean not eating if they paid a premium. And if you're in that case, then get the best of the worst with a best advantage plan you can find. But assuming it's not affecting the roof over your head or the food in your mouth, go for Medigap and Plan G. I'm with you 100%. But you gotta do it at 65, because when you do it right at 65, they have to take you. There's no underwriting. But if you try to change it like at 70 or whatever, they're underwritten.
I had no clue. And I was talking to my next door neighbor over the fence one day, and he said, get this G plan.
He was right. Yeah.
And I got it. And now my other neighbor sells insurance, and she's like, oh, no, you need to get, I can save you all kinds of money.
No,
get
no,
to
no.
This plan.
Yeah, right. Like, no. Thank you very much. Go away.
Okay, the other quick thing, I don't want to take up too much time, is with Jim, does he have internet provider?
Yes.
He has Siri. Why doesn't he just go on YouTube?
Well, he can't. You know, YouTube's very hard if you really can't see the screen.
Not really. You just go in there and
No, YouTube is really not your friend if you can't see, if you believe me. It is the least.
I do everything. I can see, but I can do. I do voice on YouTube.
Yeah.
He said he likes Gunsmoke. He says he likes Gunsmoke.
Right.
You can't see him anymore.
Right. No, there's so many things on YouTube, but we've talked before. Jim is not set up the way he should be, and I begged him to take care of this as quickly as possible, but he needs somebody to set all this up for him. And then you're right. The world is his oyster. But you can do certain things by voice on YouTube, but shame on YouTube, because it is really not friendly if you cannot see it.
It's not, but all you have to do is, once you get into it, you just say, I don't know if you have Siri or what, you just say, radio Gunsmoke episodes.
Yeah.
And it'll give you 100 of them, and then you just say, play a Gunsmoke, and it'll play it.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get, but yeah, you're right.
Well,
it probably will.
But
better than nothing, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I hope that Jim will continue to move in a direction where he can be independent that way.
Yeah, if he can get into YouTube, like he said, he likes Gunsmoke. I'm listening to old ones all the time.
Yep.
Because right now, everything's going on. But, I mean, there's hundreds of episodes of Gunsmoke, and they're made for people not to have to see it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, as far as once you get the episode on, that's no problem. But
old-time radio is better than a TV program.
Yeah. No, absolutely. The shows are good. It's just getting there. And I know he started to do that, and hopefully he will continue to where that will be a real benefit for him. Because you're right. If he could easily do that, that would have solved his problem today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and another quick thing is the Postal Service.
Oh, the Postal Disservice? Yes.
I know you're going to get into it, but I'm worried because I've had the same post office box for 50 years.
I don't think you have any worries. Why are you worried about that?
Well, I have a very little post office.
Oh, you think the actual branch might close?
It might. It's only got, there's like 300 boxes in there.
All right.
Well, hopefully they'll keep the boxes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And having a box is absolutely a good thing to do, particularly if you're in any kind of a rural area. You're starting to see some real problems, because now that, you know, the deal with UPS ended, that was called SurePost, and as much as I hated it, it was a godsend for people who only had a post office box. And, you know, in some rural areas, there's no such thing as street delivery. They give you the post office box free, but you're not going to get anything delivered to your house. And so with SurePost, UPS could, in fact, deliver to the post office boxes. Well, suddenly that stopped, and some people were caught really unaware. The interesting thing, of course, not going to get into politics and DOGE and all that, but I will say that in the conversation with the Postal Service, the guy who heads the Postal Service was the first one to stand up and say, we got problems. And I thought, well, you know, thank God for that. And the reason I said that it's going to be a bitch getting your mail is that the delays with losing SurePost and then losing a lot of employees. This is not the first time, and it's not the most. In 2021, they got rid of like 30,000 people. So the 8,500 who signed up for the bonuses and all that, it's not as many as you'd think, but right now the system is taxed as it is, and there's a lot of people who are facing. Well, there's a new apartment complex, and I think it's in Hennepin County in Minneapolis, and it opened in December, and people moved in, and they've got microwaves, and they've got washers and dryers, and they've got they don't have mail delivery. They've been there for months, and they're not getting mail delivery, and so that's a fight as well. All the post offices says sorry for the inconvenience. No, that's probably not the best way to handle it, but they're working on it. But yeah, I would advise people who can get a post office box that is your friend.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking I may have to put up a. When I first moved to this little town I'm in, it's 750 people at that time. There was no home delivery at all.
Right,
you had to get a post office box.
Right, and they gave it to you free. Right,
you had to buy it.
Oh, really?
No, no. It was,
Really?
And you had to get on a waiting list to even get one.
Oh my!
Otherwise, they just kept your mail in a box, and you went in there and said, "This is my name," and they would get it out. Finally, but I had the same post office box since 77.
Okay.
And I'm worried that it's a small post office. There's two people that work in it. Hopefully, they'll keep it open.
Is that the only one in your area?
No, there's other ones in the area.
Oh, okay. Then it could be in danger because they're not going to close them all. That you know. But have you got bigger ones in the area?
Yeah, Joliet's bigger, but they're still. Yeah, I'm not going to go get a box there.
But that's Joliet. I mean, in Elwood, in your zip code.
Oh, no.
You're it.
No, they're the only one in the zip code.
Yeah, well,
but
hopefully you're...
I've already made a deal with... I don't get around too good, so I have a friend that does stuff for me. You know, we go, and he goes in and gets my mail, and I already got a step that I'm just going to forward my stuff to his house. He lives two blocks from the post office.
Well...
Until I can put a box up or something.
Well, and then if you know, I'd want to, I like the idea of having a box either.
Oh,
at the
I do too. I
assume that in Elwood, there's not like a UPS store where you could rent a private box, right?
No, but there's two post offices within 5-10 miles of me. I could maybe go get a box in another town.
Yeah, that.
But hopefully they won't close. Well, what bothers me is. Some idiot ran through the front of it the other day with a truck.
Oh, jeez.
He jumped the bumper and hit the window and broke the big window out, and they haven't fixed it. They got plywood on it. And
oh, jeez.
Like, come on, fix it. Don't close it.
That's right, don't close it. Yeah, well, I have heard that they are looking at closing and doing more consolidations, but the other thing is they're going to be closing, from what I understand, some of the distribution centers, the processing centers, which already, as far as I'm concerned, are overtaxed, to say the least. And so...
But we'll see. A lot of it is because they can't get employees to work.
Well,
our mail goes to Bedford Park, which is in the south end of Chicago.
Yeah.
And if I mail a letter to my next door neighbor, it goes to Bedford Park.
Well, yeah, oh, absolutely. No, that is sadly the way it is with rural America. In Globe, you mail a letter to somebody else in Globe, it goes to Phoenix first.
Yeah, and 3 days this week, the postmaster posted on our local web Facebook page that they didn't get any deliveries from Bedford Park at all because there was nobody there to sort the mail.
Oh, dear. Well, that's a huge problem.
So they went out and delivered packages. They got packages, and they go out, even if there's no mail, they go out and check everybody's mailbox in the country to see if they got mail going out. They drive the whole route no matter what.
Jeez.
But, yeah, it's crazy that it used to be that if I mailed to my next-door neighbor, they just sorted it right here in our little town. And
no, exactly. Well, this is also part of automation. See, a lot of this stuff is designed where they don't need to be dependent on the employees, and that's why, John orders a lot of stuff online because he collects comics and things like that. And we laugh because the packages are well-traveled. You'll see something that maybe is mailed from Baltimore, and it's supposed to come to the Phoenix area. Well, you'd think that's pretty direct. Well, no, it goes from Baltimore. Next thing you know, you find out it's in Los Angeles. Then it's gone to Denver. Then it's gone back to, like, Chicago. Then it's gone to Flagstaff. Now you'd think, oh, well, that's pretty close. It'll get here soon. No, then it went to Salt Lake City. And finally made it. And that's not unusual to see those things. And that is an automation glitch. That's not a person. I can only imagine how much this is happening. And especially with an unprecedented amount of people shopping online.
They're talking too now about making major changes April 1st. The Postmaster General did. And May 1st, our tax bills come out in our county.
Mm-hmm.
And I get my tax bill by mail. If I don't get my tax bill, I'm kind of disabled, so I can't really go to the county building anymore. If I do, I have my friend has to push me in a wheelchair.
Oh,
so I actually went online and I found out I can, as long as I got my PIN number, I can pay my house taxes online. But they're going to have thousands of people in this county that aren't going to get their tax bills.
Okay, so I was just looking this up. Yes, April 1st, 75% of first-class mail will maintain its current delivery schedule, 14% will be upgraded to a faster standard, and 11% will experience a slower standard. However, they say all first-class mail will still be delivered between 1 and 5 days. Huh. All right, so I know there's many people who say they 5 days would be fine.
As long as I don't close my post office, I'll be fine. Well, even if they close off the one side and just leave the side open with the boxes in it, I'll be okay.
Right. Well, let's see. Is there a list of post offices to be closed?
Yeah, I looked in Illinois. They had like 4 or 5 of them down south, but nothing up here yet.
Yeah. By the way, I know that John came in to say, you know, they're in a commercial break. Yeah, I blew it, so Bob keeps me honest.
Oh.
But that's all right. So let's see. What.
Yeah, okay.
Do they have a list? So do they?
Not really.
They need a list. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'll keep looking. But, yes, especially in rural areas.
Well, it'll come out. Yeah, it's just crazy. And one of the things, I know we're not on the air, but the Postmaster General that was appointed by Trump, one of the things, they took a lot of automation out in areas.
Yeah, I heard that.
Because they wouldn't handle mail-in ballots. And they wanted mail-in ballots to be hand-sorted and everything.
Okay.
We know why, but...
Right. I wonder...
Just reading that the other day,
I wonder about the current Postmaster General. I don't know when he got there.
No, it is him. It is him.
Oh, same guy?
Did it.
Okay, so they...
Yeah,
this
guy was appointed by Trump.
Okay, and he's still
the
there.
The first time.
Okay, he's still there.
Yeah, the first time.
All right. Well,
I
guess we're going to find out, but I was hoping a list of post office. Let's see. Oh, post offices by discontinuation date. That's an interesting way to put it, isn't it? Enter the start and end days and click search to see a chronological list of post offices that will discontinue. The list will include county zip and offices in existence after 1963. And, okay, so I guess we can, let's see. But, of course, we have to put in the from date. We'll just do, post office is not closed yet, so we'll do March 1st. Let's see. And end date this year, 12/31. And see what it brings me. Okay. All right. We'll search. What are they going to... Entry date is not valid. Of course not. All right. So, got to write all 4 digits of the year. All right. Very good. You still don't like it? Why not? All right. Well, maybe I should try it for a date in advance. Okay. Let's try that. No, it doesn't work, actually. Why should we be surprised? I'll keep looking.
I've looked, and I found like 4 of them down south, but that was before Doge and everything. I mean, there's 167 million addresses in the U.S. that get mail.
Oh, I'm sure.
Piss off people.
I'm sure. And in a number of countries, mail delivery doesn't come to the house. You go pick it up. You know, that's not that unusual. So,
well, I always thought you had to do it because of the Constitution, but the Constitution...
No, there's nothing.
You may have a mail.
Right, no. The Constitution doesn't guarantee you mail service. Nice thought, though.
No, but it allows them to bill for mail service and postal...
All those things, but it doesn't guarantee you'll get it.
No, and even if it goes privatized, they don't have to deliliver to non-profitable areas.
Oh, that's going
to
be an interesting...
They don't have
fight.
To,
yeah, that's an interesting
yeah.
fight. Yeah, that'll
yeah.
keep everybody busy. All right, well, good deal.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks
Appreciate
a lot,
it.
Raleigh. I didn't mean to take your time.
Oh, that's all right.
Bye.
All right, so, yeah, this is a cavalcade of commercials into the news because I didn't break soon enough, so we'll do it right after the news. We've got another hour to spend together. And so if you're listening online, you heard that, and if you're listening to WGN, you heard something else.
Make me wonder. I get the blues, and then I wonder when you should hate me day and night. But when
there was a smile upon your face. What's on your mind? While you're just prancing all over the place, when you should hate me day and night. But when I'm home, everything's alright. Who's the fool? Me or you? Sometimes I wonder.
Wonder.
You make me wonder.
Wonder.
Sometimes I wonder.
Wonder. Wonder.
Wonder. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is Major Lance. Sometimes I wonder. Curtis Mayfield wrote it, 1964 on OK, and Brian requested it, and there he goes, 888-876-5593. Eduardo is in Tampa, so Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, hello, Raleigh. Well, the astronauts finally made it home.
And very well, yes. Well, I say very well. After 9 months in space, they'll have some physical issues for a while, but the trip back was uneventful, and isn't that the best way to have it?
Yeah, they got to take it easy. No, like, hard exercises or getting wild or something like that. They got to take it easy. They got to catch up with family.
Well, not only that. I mean, the problem is when you're in a weightless situation, your body is really not prepared to that. So it's everything, including the fluid in your eyes, that is displaced. So it's a while before you're back on solid ground, even though you're standing here.
Yeah. Well, it's so happy that they are. I'm sure they're happy. Their family is. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So, I think they're thrilled, and I don't blame them. You know, it was supposed to be 10 days. Sounds like the Gilligan Islands theme of a 3-hour tour. Yeah. So 10 days turns into almost 10 months. Oh, well. So it's great they're back. I love the way all the news. Firstly, they said that they landed right off the coast of Tallahassee. And when I heard that, I did a knee jerk and I said, they moved Tallahassee? Tallahassee is not on any coast. And so, but I guess close to as a relative. And then they, you know, Gulf of America. I had to think for a minute. Well, where's that? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Somewhere
in the Gulf, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Some Gulf. They're back, and that's great.
Yeah, well, that would have been great if it would have been right there by the beach, because I would have been there, and it would have been a nice show to see.
Oh yeah, well, they were by the beach, not south far enough for your beach, but they were by the beach. They did land in the water. Yes, uneventful that it was. Looked beautiful. The video of that I saw. It's like, God, isn't it nice when things just really work out well?
Yeah, you know, you were talking about going back a little bit on the post office. So I had that on my memo pad. Apparently, they were cutting like 10,000 jobs.
Uh-huh. Well, they cut 30,000 in 2021. And they slated to cut 10,000. Now, 8,500 of them took the buyout, you know, the retirement early and we'll give you money type thing. And then there'll be another 1,500 so far. But the Postmaster General said that, you know, he wants to work with the federal government to try and figure out how to, you know, how to streamline this. So I don't know. I know that most of us have postal horror stories of late. And I always figured it was because of, like I said before, automation, but couldn't begin to tell you.
You know, I called Friday, that other station in L.A. I listened to on Friday because they do these Name That Movie contests.
Oh, is it?
And they were supposed to be sending me something, and it hasn't been just me. It's been other callers. They brought this up to the host, and it doesn't get to your mail. I mean, you give them the accurate address, unless they're writing something else down, the one taking the phones, and it just doesn't get there. So, who knows?
I don't know. How long have you been waiting?
Oh, this business party, like, sometime in late February.
Okay, well, that's not too long ago. I mean, listening to this show, you win on my trivia contest, it can take 3 years. plus the prizes.
Plus
the prizes are worthless. What is it you won that you didn't get?
Oh, they don't really name, but there's sometimes it could be like a shirt, it could be a keychain, a hat, something like that.
Oh, they don't tell you what they're mailing. They just clean out the prize card.
No.
That's pretty interesting.
They just give you they do a wide range of what it might be, but yeah.
And are they swearing that they've mailed?
Yeah, I've gotten a shirt from them before, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that happens.
Yeah, I have utterly no idea, but assuming they're mailing them out on time, I know why you don't get our stuff, of course, because we don't mail it, but we will. And but I will say most of the time when we do a mailing, now it's been a couple of years, but when we do it, everybody eventually got what we sent, so it'll be interesting this time. I guess we'll have to make a note of it. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I saw this on CBS News Sunday, McPherson College. They're in Wichita, Kansas. And they got a 4-year on fixing up classic cars.
Really? Well,
yeah. They came on the CBS News Sunday program.
They have like auto restoration and stuff like that. It's been around for, that school's been around for over 100 years easily. It was the 1800s.
Okay.
And I think their slogan is something like knowledge meets craft, because there's a lot of what we would normally consider Voc-Tech as far as that goes. So that's great. Good for them.
Yeah.
So
I guess a lot of people try and get in, but they only take like a certain amount of candidates and... So,
right.
But
the interesting thing
is, I think we should have it in all states.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that as far as education goes, I think that Voc-Tech should have remained part of, you know, high school options for many, many people. But in many places, it's just not available.
That's what I like to call in about more than the politics is the Voc training.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's great. That's one of the things in rural markets, like in Globe, where I own the radio stations, it's free. You want to become a welder, CVIT will put you through that. We'll get you certified, and it doesn't cost you a dime if you're in high school. Or you want to be a CNA, a nursing assistant, they'll put you through it, get you your CNA license, doesn't cost you a dime. So there's a number of those things in smaller areas, I think that every school should have that as an offering, because, you know, I mean, there was a while there, and I realize the 60s, not to get political, but let's face it, most people went to college in the 60s if they were male, because they were majoring in I don't want to go to Vietnam, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But it caused colleges to just have enrollment that was unprecedented. And since then, there'd been like this theory that somehow that Voc-Tech was substandard, and it isn't. I mean, let's face it, you know, you look at people who've got a job for life, a great plumber, that guy doesn't have to work, you know, doesn't have to worry. He's going to have work no matter what. So, yeah, I'd love to see them bring back a lot of Voc-Tech.
Yeah. So, right before I drop off, what is your schedule? I think you got a short show tomorrow and then Thursday.
Yes, I do. Let's look at this. Let me go to WGNradio.com. Tomorrow night is even shorter because I think I go on at 11:30. But let's see what the official schedule tells us here. And this is now the 18th, so I guess we care about Wednesday the 19th. Wednesday the 19th, approximately 11:30. That's after basketball. So, you know, unlike the Blackhawks, you can kind of trust the Blackhawks. They're going to end when they end. Basketball, anybody's guess. All right, Thursday, I'll be on again after basketball, probably 11 o'clock. Then, let's see, I think the Friday replay, you don't get any of me. So let's see about Monday. Monday is a full show. Monday, March 24th, a full show. All right. Tuesday, looks like it's a full show. Wednesday, a full show. Then we get to Thursday. You may get a half hour of me on Thursday.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah, given that we are now into the college basketball
right,
tournament.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that there's not a lot after that. The 7th of April, it's a half hour we lose. And I think that's it. You know, unless somebody, you know, wins in these finals or something.
I don't think your station has baseball, right?
No. No, WGN does not have baseball.
You know, baseball's coming up in April.
Oh, isn't it, though? Yes, I know. No, no baseball. I mean, for years and years and years, it was the Cubs because Tribune used to own the Cubs and WGN. And then for a few years, it was the White Sox. But now it is absolutely nobody. So, yeah, I think that you're stuck with me 4 days a week until the fall.
Okay.
So that's
all right, I'm going to jump out. I'll call back Party Thursday.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Riley.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We got Ruth and Gurney. We got Fran and Austin, James on the South Side, and you coming up on WGN Radio.
Love is but a song we sing, fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know why. Smile on your brother, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Some may come and some may go, he will surely pay his. When the one that left us here returns for us at least,
we are radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, the Youngbloods get together. RCA 1969. And Chet Powers wrote that. And that's the real story here. That, of course, was the Youngbloods. But this song, in fact, Billy Bob had requested it. And it's he said, you know, the Dave Clark Five did it as well. Oh, that's not the only ones. The We Five did it, but there was a reason for that. And many, many others. But this song was written by Chet Powers. And Chet Powers was a very interesting guy. In fact, he recorded it first in the, I think, in the early 60s under a stage name, Dino Valenti. And it was it came out, and actually, I don't think that it was recorded. I don't think that was actually released until CDs after Chet had died. But let's go back to Chet a moment. He very interesting, wrote a lot of stuff. And as I say, his stage name, Dino Valenti, he wrote Dino's song, which, of course, Quicksilver Messenger did on that big album they had. And interestingly, long before that, he had sung with Quicksilver Messenger Service for a while, but he sung with Half of the World. He died in 1994, but he was in the Air Force, and he was playing coffee houses when he got out around Boston, Provincetown, and that's when he came up with the Dino Valenti name and did a lot of New England lounges and, you know, the Greenwich Village stuff and all this, the whole folk thing. And he wound up moving to the West Coast as far as that goes. He was writing up a storm. He wrote with everybody, including Bob Dylan and Paul Stuckey and David Crosby and you name it. And he moved to Los Angeles. And John's looking at me like, what?
What? Well, so Jesse Colin Young died 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, so Jesse Colin Young died. All right, so that's the Youngbloods. All right, so very good. So we see how much I like these people. No, I'll get to that. But in any event, when Get Together was recorded, Kingston Trio, like I mentioned, the We Five, and there was a reason for that, Dave Clark Five, H.P. Lovecraft, Jefferson Airplane, and then, of course, Youngbloods. And that was big. But when that was when that was out, actually, I think before the Quicksilver Messenger Service with Dino's song, he was in jail at the time, and in jail for drug use, for marijuana and amphetamines, I think. But he was in such financial trouble that he sold the rights to Get Together to the manager of the Kingston Trio, actually, who wound up being the manager of the Wee Five, and that's how they came to do that. So that was the deal. And it is really sad because there were several drug busts in this guy's life. But for the marijuana and the amphetamines, he got a 1-to-10 sentence at Folsom State Prison, and that's when he sold the publishing rights to manager of the Kingston Trio. And while he was in prison, that's when Quicksilver Messenger recorded Dino's song, which I thought was actually the only good thing on that album. But after he got out of jail that time, he was on Epic and using a variation of his pseudonym, Dino Valente, that time Valente with an E. And he was the opening act for Jimi Hendrix and all that kind of stuff. So sadly, though, he died in 1994. And that was it. All right, so there you have it. And hopefully Billy Bob liked it. All right, so yes, Jesse Colin Young. That was just a few days ago. And you probably heard about that. So I won't belabor that. But yes, March 16th. So Sunday. Yeah. And I don't know what the deal was on that. So I have no idea. In the meantime, I know that he was living in South Carolina and 83 years old. All right, rest in peace to Jesse Colin Young. So we will see. We'll get to Fran right after the news, you know, because I've got Bob this week, and Bob keeps me on my toes. If I don't shut up, he just runs the news anyway, and who could blame him? All right, so we'll get to Fran, we'll get to James, and we'll get to Ruth, and there's a line available for you if you want it on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is the Box Tops, and I think it was Eric who requested Choo Choo Train, and that's Alex Chilton on lead, who sadly left us quite a while ago, I think like 2010 now, so yeah, but he was the lead singer of the Box Tops, and that was the deal, obviously. It was a local band who recruited him, actually, and Chips Moman was the producer and songwriter on that. And they did that at American Sound. They also did some stuff at Fame in Muscle Shoals. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Fran is in Austin. Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I wanted to comment. I'm not feeling too great tonight, so if I sound weird.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I can barely walk. My left knee is just really.
No.
And, you know, it's like one thing after another. It's my shoulders, not my fingers.
Yeah.
It's like every joint in my body seems to have arthritis or something.
Well, you don't get a break. Just
no,
not. And then, of course, you can't find doctors.
Right. you know, and if I can find them, they won't listen, like the one that won't
listen to me
about my toes. I'm still trying to deal with that. But anyway, all that aside, I was calling about Bruce's call earlier suggesting that Jim use YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm blind from birth, been using computers a long time. I'm not great with them, but I'm, you know, I can do what I need to do.
Right.
And YouTube is a royal pain.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
That's,
because it's so cluttered. And so many times I will ask for something and get the wrong thing.
Right.
It sounds to me like, because he's saying that he just says it and gets it, it sounds like Bruce is using a smart speaker or something.
Probably, probably like Siri or Alexa. Or
or some of those. And sometimes that's great if you can get the syntax just mm-hmm. right. But another thing too is that, like my, I love old time radio.
Sure,
and I can listen
to
it, and I can listen to it for hours, and I read audio books, and you know, of course, being blind from birth, I'm a very audio kind of person.
Sure.
I'll remember things much better if you tell me than if I read them. You know, and things like that. But some people, and I don't think it has to do with whether you're blind or sighted, some people are visual and some people are auditory.
Right. Right.
And I think the hardest part for Jim, and I'm not trying to speak for you, Jim, I'm just trying to kind of, you know, it's hard to empathize because I've been doing it all my life.
Right.
But I can, because I've seen people have to go through it, and I've seen people who are very kind of audibly oriented, and they have a little bit of an easier time adjusting. Like, so many times I want to call and suggest to Jim, you can watch Big Bang Theory audio descriptive.
Right.
And you don't have to crawl right up to your screen and see it. But Jim is very visual, it sounds. You know, it's audio is just not going to, he's not ready to have that cut it. He's got, you know, I'm telling him how to live his life,
yeah.
But he's got to find a way to ease himself into audio.
And he's going to need some help with that, because you're right. It is foreign to him, and he needs somebody. He got some help, but he needs more help, because it's not the kind of thing that he's going to be able to initiate on his own.
No, and he can't even get himself into that mindset, because I know many times we've said something about, you know, learning how to do something without sight, and he'll say, but I can't see the screen.
Right.
And I'm sitting here thinking, that's the point. That's what we're trying to tell you. You're going to have to be able to learn to do things, and it's you don't want to. I understand that.
Oh, so do I. Absolutely. And because it's so easy if your whole life you've been seeing it. All of a sudden you have to come at it from a different angle. And
I mean, I had a fit when I found out I was going to have to wear hearing aids.
Right.
You know, and I thought, if I lose my hearing, my life is over.
Right.
You know, so I can certainly understand, but some people, like I've dated blind and, you know, sighted people, and like some of the sighted, like my ex-husband, for example, could not get into reading audiobooks with me. You know, he just
really
couldn't get into doing it. He could read the same book I was reading, but he had to read it, because if he tried to read an audiobook with me, he would fall asleep. He'd lose his concentration. There's nothing for him to look at.
That's really interesting, because I'll tell you what, driving across the country, nothing beats an audiobook.
Oh, yeah. You know, but of course, I've been reading audiobooks since I was like six.
Right. Right.
Know?
Well, no, I relate, because I'm totally audio. I can see it to a greater or lesser degree, but I'm just not visual. So I don't watch television. I listen to television. And
same here.
Yeah, when John's sitting there, he said, well, what do you want to watch? Yeah, well, you pick it out, because I'll be hearing it. And
it's funny, because Gary doesn't watch TV hardly at all, and I do, but I usually just watch it on my... like, I just use the Spectrum app. In fact, I'm thinking about getting rid of my smart TV because it's dumb.
Right.
But
right.
But you know, YouTube is—it's not so bad if you can tell. Like, you know, I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with my smart speaker, but I can tell it to play, you know, find some Jack Benny, you know, play
right.
some Jack Benny, and it'll play some, or it'll play an artist, but it might not play the songs I want by that artist. But you can, you know, if he had one of those, he could say, play such and such, and they'd play.
Well,
but, you know, he's not much into music, he's not much into the radio, he's more into the TV.
But that you brought up something good there, because I don't know if he has, say, an Alexa or a Siri, but that might be an easy way to start this. He could just say, like, you know, play, name it, Jack Benny or Bonanza or whatever, and see what happens.
Yeah. Another thing I was thinking, too, is that even though, you know, you can still watch The Big Bang Theory, but if he puts it on the SAP, you know, and just try to get used to hearing it. I'm not saying don't watch it and
right.
just listen to it. I'm saying watch it, listen to it, and, you know, you practically probably have most of them memorized anyway. I mean, you know, because...
Right. Right.
And I happen to like that show, too, so I know I've got a lot of them myself. But, you know, to get kind of adjust yourself to doing that. But it's hard, you know, like, because I have a lot of things I do. You know, I read, I, you know, do a lot of other stuff besides TV. But... and, you know, there should be more things descriptive than there are, but that's another story.
Right.
But, you know, it's not so easy. I know a lot of people tell me, well, just look it up on YouTube. You can get it on YouTube. I'm like, okay, you get it on YouTube and send me the link.
Right.
And I'll be happy.
Right.
You know?
Right. You see, that's it. Yes, send you the link. Right.
Yeah.
Well, if Jim has an email address, maybe that's what I need to do is send him some links.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, if you can get into listening to some of these, because, you know, unlike TV shows, the old-time radio shows are made just for that purpose.
Yeah, of course.
So you don't have to fill in the plot that you can't see.
Right, no, it's all there. And it's so much better because, you know, that's how I just love, you know, the mind, because it's so much better to just come up with your own visuals for it.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, when I listen to you, and it probably doesn't have anything to do with, you know, what it looks like where you are,
right.
but I have a picture in my mind of, you know, or I totally had the wrong picture of you. It's funny.
Ah.
I had you as a, let's see, I thought of you at first as kind of tall, like 5'8" or 5'9".
Yeah.
And, you know, not heavy or thin, you know. And, I really got, because when I heard you described, I was really wrong on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as that goes. Yeah, a lot of people...
But that doesn't matter, because
no,
I still...
It's whatever you want it to be. You know, that's why, I know when I was a kid listening to disc jockeys, I learned early on, don't see these people. You know, let them look like you want them to look.
Yeah, I know. There was one jock that I really liked, and I won't say who it is, because... The person turned out to be a real jerk.
Oh.
And I just idolized him. Oh, you know, I crushed on him in the worst way. I was
yeah.
all of 10 years old. I mean,
right.
you know.
That's perfect for this, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, they should be used to that. It happens to them all the time.
Right, exactly.
But he was really mean
oh.
to kids.
Oh, what a jerk.
And I thought, you know, really.
What a jerk.
Most of your, you know, a lot of your audience are kids my age. Deal with it, you know.
Well, right,
but
right, absolutely.
Like, but that goes to show you should never, sometimes you should never get to know your heroes, because you might find out something about them that you don't like as much as you, you know.
Well, that's right, that's what I say. I didn't want to see them. I don't want to know them. They'll be whatever I want them to be, you know.
Yeah, but then after that, and there's a talking book narrator that I used to like, and I happened to run into him on social media, and I can't read his books anymore because he's just such a jerk. And it's like, you know, he was a good narrator when he narrated his books. Yeah. He still is a good narrator, but now all I can think of is the jerk part.
Right, right, exactly. No, I relate to that completely. Yeah, so. And what a shame. What a real shame. You know, for a top 40 disc jockey not to like kids, this is a problem. You know.
Yeah, and yet there were some like the nicest was Tom Saunders, Tommy Saunders.
Uh-huh, sure.
Oh, he was really. I remember one time because I didn't know what the word was, and I wanted to hear Punky's Dilemma.
Okay.
So I said, I want to hear Punky's. Delilah?
Yeah.
And he just kind of giggled, you know, kind of laughed. No, he says, no, he says, that's Punky's Dilemma. And I said, oh, what does that mean? And he said, well, that's like a problem.
Good for
you
him.
You know, and he kind of explained, he took the time to explain to me what a dilemma was and give me a couple of even, you know, some and even explained a little bit of the song to me. I knew it was, you know, old Roger Draft Dodger, you know, and all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, and but he took the time, you know, to talk to this little 11-year-old kid. I mean,
well, exactly, you know. And you'll remember it forever. And
yeah,
sure,
I
and
will.
Of course, he was on KYA and on KSFO, and I think he was a KYT.
Yeah, he was
well.
In there too.
Yeah, he was around forever, and.
In the air, everywhere.
Right. Yes, yes, absolutely. And I think there's air checks of him on YouTube, some of the KYA stuff. So none of the...
Oh, I got to look for that.
Yeah, none of the KYA.
I might even be
stuff,
on some of them because he had a talk show that I used to call on Saturday nights. I think it was Saturday nights.
Yeah, he was... it's interesting because they had him on at night, like 9 to midnight, and he easily could have been drive time.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. I liked him and Russ the Moose Syracuse.
Oh, absolutely, yes, yes.
And Wing Flap and his laminated flapjack sandwiches.
Oh, God, yeah.
Russ and he used to play Strangers on the Shore, and he used to do what he'd call these terse curses while he was playing it, and he would say, "And may the fleas of 1,000 gypsies lay their eggs in your Rice Krispies."
Yes.
"And may the hairs of 1,000 flannels nestle nightly in your flannels." And I can't even listen to Strangers on the Shore anymore without thinking of those.
Oh, sure. Sure. And, right. They brought him in from Buffalo. He'd been a big star in Buffalo, and I think he was, like, from Rochester or somewhere nearby. And, he became the captain of the all-night flight on Super Freak 1260.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I'd love to find... Where can I find... I know there used to be a site that I used to use to find air checks.
Well, yes, and I think it's still up in some form. Sadly, Uncle Ricky died, the guy who had the site.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, Real Radio. And it's still... And one of the problems was, of course, Richard Irwin, who had the site, had been doing this so long that all of his stuff was real media, you know, real player. And so, of course, you know, that became passé, to say the least, and most people couldn't.
Right.
He never did convert to another format. And so when he died, I think his sister was going to take it over, and then suddenly it wasn't even going to cost you to be a member. But I tried a few times and never could get anything.
Oh, wow.
Because I was,
oh, that's too bad, because I used to, yeah.
Yeah, I had a deal where, you know, I had a free membership because I'd given him some air checks and stuff like that, and, you know, had he'd been on the air with me and all that. And so...
Yeah, I was going to say, you publicized his site.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. I thought he was
helped
great.
Him do some fundraising.
Yes,
I remember that.
Yes, when he was still alive, because he needed that, and yeah.
Yeah, that's how I found out about it, was when you were helping him... to do the fundraising for it, and I'm joining that right away, and I did, and I loved it.
It was great, but so, like I say, in recent years, and I haven't had much time, but when I tried, it was just an exercise in frustration. I'll have to try it again at some point. I was talking earlier to Carol, World's Greatest Show Prep Ford, about how, you know, as all the wonderful time-saving things that computers and stuff do for us, on the flip side is how much time wasting is involved getting it to do things that you want it to do that it's just contrary about. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, I waste so much time. And of course, I'm a Luddite, a proud Luddite, even though I know the technology, I could do the code, but I have no interest in it. I don't want anything in the cloud, you know, so my whole thing is staying away from everything you want you to be part of. Well, when you have, when you have iOS devices and you're trying to stay out of all this stuff, it can take hours.
I know. Yeah. Believe me, I know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think about trying to see if can change and learn new tricks and learn how to use Apple stuff instead. You know, I mean, I use my iPhone.
Right.
So.
Well, actually, OS X.
I haven't been able to use my computer in a couple of years now, so I use my iPhone for most stuff.
Well, OS X is really actually still fairly easy. It's let me down because, you know, many years ago when MS-DOS became Windows, I had said at the time, well, this is just DOS trying to be Mac because it was so graphic, you know, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And, yes.
But what's happened ever since Steve Jobs died is now Mac is becoming more like PCs. For instance, in these operating systems, they never used to have anything that was read-only, anything that was hidden. If you wanted to change it, and I did, that was fine. Now there are parts of these operating systems that you can't touch. And so there's programs I can't run that I would otherwise easily be able to run. And so that just drives me crazy. But
That's interesting because it used to be a complaint that people had that used Mac. I mean, you know, say, well, I hate Windows because it won't let you do anything.
Right, exactly.
Won't let you do anything, you know, independently. And,
right, and now Mac won't either. Now, if I was a younger bear, I would do everything in Linux. But, you know, the problem is there are so many varieties of Linux and all that. I know enough to be almost conversational, but I'm too old for this. So I don't.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but if I was younger, Linux would be the way to go. But, you know, I'm not. And so there you are. One of my primary routers is all Linux. So to some degree, it's like, okay, I'll handle this. But, not pleased. So, yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, I think Tommy Saunders came out with Russ Syracuse from Buffalo. And this was when KYA was still owned by the people who had Wake in Atlanta and Wide in Birmingham. And they brought out, when they bought it, they brought out the general manager from Wake, who was a woman in 62. And then she brought in Russ the Moose and Tommy Saunders and bunch of other people too, Johnny Hayes, and a lot of people. So yeah, it was good in those days. And then
I think we moved there in the summer of 66.
Uh-huh.
And I remember all night I would be up listening to Russ and Moose. And
yeah, by then that group had sold it. I'm trying to think. God,
I remember, you know, laying there at night listening to Russ Blues. So.
Oh yeah, no, he was still there, but I mean, he survived an ownership change.
Oh, I see. Okay, don't tell me I messed up again because I remember thinking one time that I kept telling people I saw the Beatles at Hollywood Bowl,
right.
And then we were talking one night. I was talking to you, and you said, "Oh no, that concert was at." I forget where it was,
right.
But it wasn't the one at Hollywood.
Right. Well, I know. I do the exact same thing. Well, now, this is truly awful because John says, you've got less than 30 seconds to say goodnight, everybody. So goodnight, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Goodnight, everybody. Sorry
right.
about that.
Thanks. Apologies to Karen and to James and to Ruth. And tomorrow night, we'll be on at 11:30. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Bob for keeping me in line and keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls. And above all, I thank you for calling. Apologies to those who didn't get on, but we got tomorrow night at 11:30. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.